The RTE Rugby Podcast.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the RTE Sport Rugby Podcast. I'm Michael Corcoran. It's the second of two editions this week. The first is dedicated to the naming of the British and Irish Lions squad on Wednesday. If you want to hear from Warren Gatland, Rory Best and the thoughts of Brent Pope, you can find that episode on iTunes, SoundCloud or through the RTE Sport website. Today we're almost exclusively focused on the two European Rugby Champions Cup semi-finals taking place over the course of this coming weekend. Wes Liddy, the RTE TV rugby editor, is here with me. How are you, Wes?
Good, yourself, Mike?
I'm not too bad now, thanks. And joining us on the line is Donal Lennon. How are you, Donal?
How's it going, Mike?
Very well altogether, thank you. Listen, can we just talk about the games as they're happening? Initially, the match at the Aviva Stadium. Donal, your thoughts? Munster against Saracens. I mean, just even mentioning the Lions, six Lions from Saracens, the biggest representation of any club. Huge task for Munster.
It certainly is. I think it's probably the biggest test that Munster have faced since going to Bordeaux that day back in 2000 when they faced that all-conquering Toulouse side. Saracens, for me, they're unquestionably the best side in the last four in Europe. But as we know, that doesn't always mean you're guaranteed to win. I think if Munster were to play this game anywhere other than Thomond Park, you'd select the Aviva Stadium. I can't wait for the game myself. I'm sure there's going to be close to 45,000 ravenous Munster supporters there. The odds are stacked against Munster. The fact that Saracens, as you've mentioned, have six Lions named in Warren Gatland's side, I think just adds to the intrigue. A little bit of disappointment down in Munster, despite, you know, obviously thrilled for Peter Omani, CJ Stander and Conor Murray to be selected. But, you know, there were hints that Keith Earls and Donnacha Ryan would also join them. That didn't transpire. So I think that adds a little bit of an edge to what's going to be a fascinating game.
And there is that kind of little bit of a journey, Donal, isn't there, into the unknown in terms of Saracens coming to the Aviva Stadium. As you said, about maybe 40, 45,000 Munster fans there. I'm not sure they'll have played in front of kind of an atmosphere like that before.
No, I very much doubt it. I mean, I know they play big games in Wembley, but they're sort of free tickets handed out. I think it's people turning up to be entertained rather than to participate as an avid supporter. I mean, that's certainly the way it's going to be on Saturday. Saracens, they have a track record of doing well away from home. I mean, they beat Toulon down in Toulon at the pool stages. They beat Racing 92 in the final in Lyon last year. So, you know, they have a bit of a track record from that point of view. But you go back to the Ireland-England game. England favourites to win that match, going for a Grand Slam, a world record number of games, successful games in a row. We all know what happened that day. To transfer that a couple of weeks later, there was a lot of those England players lined out for Wasps against Leinster in the quarterfinal. Again, one would have thought that the likes of Joe Launchbury and Haskell and these guys, Elliot Daly, would have learned something from their experience in Dublin that day, but that didn't happen either. So that throws in that unknown factor, as you say. You know, I think if this game was anywhere in England, then you would have to feel that Saracens would be overwhelming favourites. But there are other factors at play here, and I think that's what makes it so intriguing.
Donal, it sounds a bit of a funny thing to say, considering Munster have had three wins since the end of the Six Nations. But I mean, I think it's been fairly widely acknowledged they weren't quite at their best against Toulouse, despite the scoreline, narrow wins against two good teams in Glasgow and Ulster. But you know, maybe there was an eye on the semi-final and a lot of changes, but is there any fear that with the kind of attritional style they play and with the injuries starting to rack up, that maybe Munster are starting to run out of steam at this point in the season, that maybe physically Saracens might be just one step too far?
I think that's a fair point. Look, there's no doubt. The game is... you go back to that Toulouse game. Personally, I think Toulouse are a poor side. I mean, let's be honest, they wouldn't have been in the quarterfinal had they not had the Italian team, I think Zebre, in their pool at the pool stages. They were well off the mark. I think they're now 12th in the top 14th in France as we speak. They're going to miss the playoffs in the French league for the first time in 41 years. So I think you have to put that Toulouse team into perspective. Munster did what they had to do that day, but there was a period in the second half, 20 minutes, where they were extremely vulnerable. Now, that said, in that period, they did lose Peter Omani. Conor Murray didn't start the game. CJ Stander also went off injured, as did Keith Earls, and they are the key players. The worry for me going into the game is, as we know, Conor Murray is out, and you know, despite the fact that Duncan Williams has really had an excellent season, you need your best players at the peak of their performance to take on a side like Saracens. Murray won't be there. CJ Stander is likely to start, but again, is he 100% fit? We're led to believe Rory Scannell will start, but you know, anybody who saw him going off against Ulster last Saturday, you would have to have major doubts as to his ability to finish the game. So that is a concern for me. I think the strength and depth that Saracens had and the power of their game, the concern for me is Saracens are strong in all the areas that Munster seek to dominate. In other words, Munster's line-out maul, Munster's success ratio from the line-out and scrum. Defensively, Munster have been excellent this year, but Saracens have also excelled in all of those areas. So it isn't as if Munster are going to dominate in those key sectors as they have in most of the big games this year, and that's going to ask different questions of them.
Before we finish our conversation with Donal about the game this weekend, the game on Saturday, let's hear from the Munster director of rugby, Razi Erasmus, who's been looking forward to this week for a hell of a long time.
Yeah, it's a big week. I must say it was tough to play Glasgow and Ulster, knowing we had the semi-final. I mean, we always said, you know, you always talk about the next game, but the Saracens game has always been in the back of our heads. And it's nice to have the two wins, you know, grind out two wins against two quality teams. And now obviously it's going to be a few steps up when we play the champions. It's hell of a challenging, and obviously you want to measure yourself and see how far you've grown in the last couple of months, you know, and as you say, no better test. We'll exactly know on Saturday night, 5 o'clock, you know, where, how much we've grown.
What have your impressions been of Saracens?
Yeah, I think obviously, you know, the way they put their squad together, you can see it's been a squad coming for years, you know, the way they sign sometimes non-English players who's available right through the season to, you know, to help them through those times during Six Nations, and to be able to rotate squads and, you know, get guys like Bill Skelton in for a game here and there. I think that they've done that really clever, and I think because of that, you know, the intensity with which they play is just unbelievable. I think they all, every week has almost a fresh team out there. So I think apart from them being tactically really great team, individuals are really good, and a great coaching staff, I think the intensity is something that really strikes me about their team.
How much of this week will be about concentrating on what you can do rather than wondering what's coming around the corner in terms of the team that are going to play this weekend?
I think that's, you know, you have to concentrate on the opposition, and you have to understand what they're trying to do, like all the other games we've played this year. But I think if we're just going to go out and try and contain what they're doing, you know, we won't stand a chance in the game. You know, we'll have to make sure that what the plans we have in place, you know, we get to execute that, and that's probably one of Saracen's biggest strengths. They actually take that away from you, you know, and we have to find a way that play in our comfort zone and play the way we want to play, which is actually their strength, you know, taking you out of that. So it will be a great, great challenge.
Now, you've experienced Thomond Park on European Rugby Day, full house there. I mean, it will be slightly different, the Aviva Stadium, where everybody is on this occasion, the majority of people, 95% of them, are on a Munster side.
Yeah, listen, the first thing is we're happy we're playing in Ireland. You know, even if it is against the champions, the reigning champions, and probably the best team in Europe currently. So, you know, it can't be a better stage to go and play in here. It can't be more of a motivation and an honour to do it. So the players are, I must say, there's not this fear of failure. I can feel it. It's really the opportunity to go and perform and how can I say entertain, if you can call it that way, and hopefully we can keep that attitude right till the game. You know, that's the most important thing, I believe.
Well, that was Razi Erasmus. Donald, just to finish up on this Munster match, I mean, they're up against it. That's the reality. But you would have to say that on the face of it, let's think with the head here rather than the heart. I mean, Saracens will undoubtedly be the favourites going into this match.
Yeah, Michael, there's no doubt about that. But, you know, as we know from experience of travelling all over Europe with Munster for the last 16 or 17 years, there have been games when Munster have been rank outsiders and they've performed. I think everything has to go right for them on the day. Saracens, to me, it's just the quality they have all over the field. and the reserve strength they have off the bench is what's going to test Munster most. But, you know, you look at the bookies and they rarely get it wrong. Yes, Saracens are overwhelming favourites, but I think they're looking at a spread of somewhere between 2 and 3 points. So when you look at that, you know, if it's that tight, Munster definitely have a chance. I think the key really, as with all these games, is that Munster, they have to start well, they have to put the pressure on Saracens, they have to bring the crowd into the game. If Saracens dominate early on, as they did, if you go back to the pool game in Allianz Park, I think it was 2 years ago, a lot of the same players are involved and Saracens obliterated Munster that day. Now, I think Munster have progressed hugely since then, but so too have Saracens. I give Munster a chance, but hand on heart, you have to expect that Saracens should just about come out on top.
All right, that is the game on Saturday. Munster first into action against Saracens at the Aviva Stadium. You can hear the game live on RTÉ Radio 1's Saturday Sport. Kickoff there is at 3:15. Well, on Sunday, Leinster travel to Lyon. They're away against Clermont Auvergne, and a big game for them. That's the second of the semi-finals. Clermont, given the fact, Donald, that they're short so many, particularly in their back line, Leinster will look upon this one and think, you know what, I fancy this one.
Yeah, well, it's funny. I mean, you look at the two semi-finals, history would suggest you nearly always go with the teams that are playing at home. But maybe contrary to the popular view, I would give Leinster a slightly better chance of winning their semi-final than Munster for all the reasons that we've just spoken about. Leinster, to me, they have so much talent on board now, and I think the key factor for them all year has been when they've lost key players due to injury or unavailability with Ireland, there's been a queue of quality performers underneath who've stepped up to the mark and performed. We saw that against Wasps in the quarter-final. You know, Leinster lose Jimmy Heaslip, who has been such a standout performer for them for so long. They lose Rob Kearney. And arguably two of the performers on the day were Jack Conan and Joey Carberry. So that must stand to them. You mentioned the backline and the injuries that Clermont have. Like, would you pick Johnny Sexton or Camille Lopez as your number 10? Midfield is going to be a huge battle with Robbie Henshaw and Gary Ringrose. So I think that trio are in a huge position to offer Leinster a big advantage. But look, as with all things of this nature, when you get to semi-finals, traditionally they tend to be dour encounters. It's just do enough to get over the line. A huge amount depends on how Leinster perform up front. And I think John O'Gibbs, who we both know, former Leinster forwards coach, has been with Clermont for a number of seasons, leaving at the end of the year to go to Ulster. I think he's going to have a huge impact on this game. If Leinster can dominate up front, as I think they're capable of doing, especially in the scrum, then I think they have a platform to win this game. But, you know, I think it'll come down to that.
Well, the Leinster senior coach, Stuart Lancaster, has been on media duty this week, giving an insight into how all at Leinster face into a potentially season-defining week.
It's a huge week for a variety of reasons. Obviously, we've got a Sunday game, so it gives us an extended preparation time to have another Saturday game against Connacht. And today really is about getting our game plan together, understanding the threats that Clermont will pose, reviewing the Connacht game, taking the learn from that, getting the players who've had a week off a chance to get some rugby into the system. And then tomorrow will be off. Wednesday will be more defence orientated, plus units, and then Thursday's off, and then we're on the run into the game where by then the players should really begin to take ownership of the game plan themselves. And then we drive the momentum and energy into Sunday, which is going to be, you know, probably one of those occasions in sport that you'd want to be in the crowd. You need to be aware of the environment you're going into. Now, we can't replicate what it's going to be like, but, you know, I've watched Saracens against Clermont, which was the semi-final in 2015, and Saracens had to go to not the same stadium, but a similar stadium in France, and to show them images of, you know, the crowd there where there's probably 40,000 French and 1,000 Saracens fans. You know, there might be more Leinster fans, but I don't think we'll balance the numbers. I think it's important to prepare the players for the environment they're going into. You can't just assume because you've been an international player, you know what it's going to be like. Or particularly for the younger players, you definitely can't assume they know what it's going to look and feel like. So I'll try and prepare them as best I can because I've been there as a coach at an international stage and I know The more you can get that stuff out of the way at the start of the week, the more they can concentrate on the game.
And how do you prepare them like that?
We show them images, you talk them through it, you know, you use the experience of the players who've been there before, pass on your experiences of what it takes to win these big games. You've got to trust your instincts as a coach in terms of selection and base it on what you know about the players and what you can see on the training field, but also what you've learned in games. And some big games players in Leinster who've played in 3 European Cup finals. So to get those guys back in will be huge for us. I mean, we know we need to improve, particularly defensively. I mean, Connacht scored some great tries and challenges in a way that no other team has done it. But we've got some good players to come back in as well. And I think, you know, when we get that that time together this week and we can prepare properly, you know, we're confident we can deal with Clermont defensively because we know how good they are. You know, Leo, Gerv, John Fogarty, they've all been involved in these big games, and there's a lot of the squad who've played in, some of them have played in 3 European Cup finals now, so there's a lot of experience in the squad. And it's important for us as a group to share that experience so that the event itself doesn't become a distraction. It's just a game of rugby, albeit at the highest level. And we deal with the sideshow, if you like, and make sure we're focused on the field. You know, I was fortunate to win games in France and know what that feels like. I've also lost against France in the last play of the game. But there's also a lot of other players in this Leinster squad who've played in France, both in club rugby and in international rugby. So I think our collective strength is experience is a strength, and I think it will be it'll bode well for the weekend.
That was Stuart Lancaster there chatting earlier this week ahead of that match between Clermont and Leinster. Wes, if Saturday is big, I mean, Sunday's even bigger, given the fact of what Leinster have to do, where they have to go and who they have to play.
Yeah, everyone seems pretty optimistic about their chances, and I suppose rightly so, considering their form. But when you look back to, you know, that famous win they got in the semi-final in Bordeaux, I think it was, against Clermont a few years ago, with Gordon Darcy dislodging the ball from Fofana as he went over the line. You look how good that Leinster team was, 3 titles in 4 years, and the players they had, O'Driscoll, Darcy, etc. And it took them that much of an effort. It was that close to win. I'm kind of a little perplexed as to where so much optimism is coming from, to be honest, but maybe Donal will shed a bit of light on it for us.
Well, he's a very optimistic man, to be fair. Donal, you said you would give, of the 2 semi-finals this week, Leinster the better chance. I mean, do you see... I'm kind of getting the impression you're siding towards the Saracens Leinster final.
Well, look, I think if you were putting your house in it, you'd have to say, well, Saracens and Clermont are the favourites, let's be straight and honest. But there is something about Leinster this year. They seem to have a buzz about them. They have, I think, Stuart Lancaster, who you've just had on there, has added so much behind the scrum in terms of their positivity and attack. We had him on Against the Head with RT a number of weeks ago, and even then he was highlighting the contribution that Joey Carberry was making as a second playmaker from fullback. And I think that has brought in the talents of, you know, the likes of Adam Byrne, Gary Ringrose, Robbie Henshaw, I thought was superb against Wasps. And they have players with big match temperament. But the key element when you go to France is you have to be able to take them on the front five. The whole French philosophy is built around the scrum. And in Jack McGrath and Tadhg Furlong, Ireland have 2 props, or Leinster, I should say, have 2 props who could well be the start team props for the Lions in the Test series in New Zealand. Sean Cronin, in my view, would have been well in the running for that tour had he a bit more game time behind them. Devin Toner must be disappointed that he hasn't made the Lions. You know, his form has oscillated a bit in the season. Very good at the start of the year, outstanding in the victory against the All Blacks in Chicago. But I think you'll see a response from him. And, you know, the back row, the quality that Leinster have in the back row, and the key man for me here with Heath Lepote is Sean O'Brien. I think he's hit form at the right time. I thought he was, again, outstanding against Wasps. There was a potential head-to-head for a Lions tour with James Haskell, and he just obliterated him. I think he is a key factor in this game. You know, he's up against experienced campaigners and the likes of Damien Choulet in their back row. But... you know, it's a lot of the Clermont game is built around power and physique. They are impressive in midfield, but like Rougerie now is long in the tooth. He's 34, 35 years of age. Lamoureux has been outstanding for both France and Clermont since he transferred from Cast. So look, there's key head-to-heads all over the field, but so much depends on that set-piece battle that always does in France. So, and, you know, I think Leinster are capable of performing there, and that's why I give them a chance. If they don't, you can forget about it, because they'll just power through you, as we've seen Toulon do in semi-finals against Leinster before. And for the likes of your Jack Conans, your Dan Levy's or Josh Van der Fleer's, we don't know yet at this stage what the makeup of that Leinster back row will be. It'll be a huge test for them. But look, they all you can do is rise to the challenges that have been put before you. And all of those players have shown an ability to do that at whatever level, be it a test level or at European level in the games they've played so far.
All right, listen, that's the Europe thing. Before we let you go, because we're under pressure for time, can we just get a quick word, if you don't mind, on the Lions squad? Certainly, I know we'll wear a parochial hat and say, you know, fair play to the Irish lads who were there. Maybe some might have felt they could have been there, but are Scotland the most aggrieved nation this week in terms of the composition of the Lions touring squad?
Yeah, I think they are. And look, it proves there. People think that you have to pick so many of the quotas involved. I remember back in my own time with the Lions, people are saying, no, you have to pick white. I think we had two Scottish Lions who went to Australia in 2001. You pick what you feel is the best. But on the basis that Scotland, they beat Ireland and they beat Wales in the championship, they won three games for the first time in years, it is a tough pill to swallow for them. But you know Warren Gatland as well as I do. He's never one to stand in ceremony. If he believes in something, he'll follow it through. I think Ireland have benefited from that in that I think in many respects, Jarrod Payne is an inspired selection, given that he can play centre, he can play fullback. He's played in Super Rugby for the Auckland Blues for a number of years. So having players of that calibre available adds a huge amount. I do feel sorry for Simon Zeebo. I mean, the one contentious selection, I think, is Lee Halfpenny. I think he's been poor for both Toulon and for Wales all year. But look, I'm sure you could put five people in front of us, five experienced people, and everybody could pick holes in the selection. Overall, I think he bought a bit of time for himself and a bit of space by picking 41 players. He'll need them because it is the toughest itinerary I've seen in a Lions tour. I think the opening game against that provincial 15 is probably the only one that you'd feel that you have a bit of wriggle room in. Every single game beyond that, five super rugby sides, the Maori and three tests, you're going to be tested, and New Zealand will test you because they won't rest key players in the early games. They look to knock you off your stride, affect the confidence within the group right from the outset. So it is a challenge, but it is an exciting squad. We just have to see how it evolves and how it gels over the opening weeks of the tour.
Donal, you've been involved in a lot of tours now at this stage as player, manager, etc. There's a lot of talk that, you know, this is one of the best Lions squads that have ever left the shores, kind of thing. I mean, if you look at a couple of positions, maybe midfield, possibly the wing, hooker even, I mean, you could equally make the argument that they just don't measure up to their opposite numbers in black jerseys. Which viewpoint would you go along with?
Yeah, look, I wouldn't say. I mean, I think every time a Lions test squad, a Lions squad is selected, you know, somebody likes to come out and say, this is the strongest we've ever sent. I think Clive Woodward came out with that statement in 2005. I mean, you're up against provincial sides in New Zealand who will come at you with everything they have. I agree there are some areas, you know, when I sat down to try and pick my own squad, as everybody had tried to do over the past couple of weeks, I had trouble in filling some of the positions because of that lack of quality that you're talking about. I think hooker was one of those, outside centre was another, and the composition of the back three, I thought that Gatland would pick maybe one or two wild cards there, but he didn't do that. And I tell you, it's going to be very difficult. In a squad of 41 players where you've only got six matches before the opening test, trying to give everybody a fair crack of the whip when you're trying to put combinations together is going to make it very difficult. The fact that the Aviva Premiership Final and the Pro 12 Final, who, you know, you could well have Munster, Leinster, Wasps and Saracens, who could have anything between 16 and 18 players involved, won't be available for their opening week. So the odds are stacked against the Lions for a number of reasons. As always, it'll come down to injuries to key players. because, look, I think you could well have a scenario here where the Lions will lose one or two games before the first test, but in some respects it doesn't matter as long as you get the type of preparation that is required to win that key opening test. And the test series at the end of the day is really what's going to shape and decide the tour. But it's hugely demanding. I can see a lot of logic in the selections that Catland has gone for. But as with all these things, time tells whether it was an inspired decision or a poor selection.
All right, Donald, listen, we're going to leave it there. Thanks to yourself and Wes. Time indeed will decide what's going to happen. And before we go, by the way, we have a competition to give away tickets for the Guinness Pro 12 final, which takes place at the Aviva Stadium on the 27th of May. Tickets available through Ticketmaster. You can get further information at pro12rugby.com. We have two pairs of tickets to give away in the podcast this week. It's always a rather decent day out. If you can tell us the name of the man who captained Connacht to the Guinness Pro 12 final last season, email your name and contact details to rugbypodcast@rte.ie. That is rugbypodcast, all one word, at rte.ie. And we'll let you know next time round who the lucky winner of those tickets will be. Well, that's it from us. A reminder that the second of this week's doubleheader of podcasts dedicated to the Lions squad selection is available now on iTunes, SoundCloud and the RTE Sport website. Today's programme was produced by Damien O'Mara, from myself, Michael Corcoran, Wes Liddy and Donal Lennon. Thanks indeed. See you next time.
The RTE Rugby Podcast.